Welcome to the show.
This is Heidi.
This is Angel coming at you from the
bright side of the moon.
No, dark side, girl.
It's not the dark side. It's waning.
This is our Halloween episode.
Oh, that's right. This is very dark.
Very dark.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
And everyone's probably like, bitches, it's not Halloween.
Where you been?
Where have you been?
Bitches, we've been partying.
So Halloween is like our Christmas.
Exactly.
For us, it's basically we got to take time off. There's no time for this. We got to go to the haunted houses. We got to go to this.
Cocktail parties.
And honestly, this year was odd because everything has been canceled. At least the big events that we normally go to, right?
Odd. That's a good adjective to use. Odd. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Odd. Yes.
But we made it work. That's the thing. It's all about what you can do. It like you just life is giving us lemons right now. We're making a lot of fucking lemonade.
A lot of spiked lemonade, for that matter.
Spike it.
I remember thinking in March, oh my God, my October better not be forsaken. And it wasn't.
No.
We actually did almost as much as we would on a regular non-pandemic year. Yeah. We were safe, of course.
Everything we went to was socially distanced and
masks
and sitting in the corner in your own little booth and going to small parties with friends that we've already been exposed to, you know, that kind of thing.
Exactly. We're going to be getting tested and it's all good. So we've been having a lot of fun and therefore we neglected to record any episodes during the entire month of October.
Sorry, guys.
Da-da-da-da-da-da. Oh. So sorry that we ghosted you. Cheap.
Pun intended.
What is our cocktail of the evening?
Oh, it's called the Falling Apple.
Ooh, I love that name.
Mm-hmm. Guess what's in it?
You
tasted it.
Apple. Okay. Good guess. Is this gin?
Yes. Oh, okay. We like gin. You can also replace it with vodka. Oh, or a brandy, if you're a brandy person, because brandy and apples. I know, I'm not a brandy person,
but some people are.
Some people like cognac or brandy or whatever. So it's 4 ounces of gin, which is really heavy, and it's like a martini, but you put it on the rocks.
Made it for 2 drinks, not 4 ounces in one cocktail, right? Or did you put eight ounces?
No, I put like 6. I didn't go that crazy.
Oh.
We got to stay semi-sober for these podcasts.
Just semi.
Yeah. So, and then 4 ounces of apple cider, which ours is made with Gala apples, which are super sweet. So it was already pretty sweet, the cider.
She actually sliced up some apples and put it in the cocktail, which I highly recommend.
1 ounce of lime. And then we did a honey simple syrup, which is basically instead of sugar and water, it's honey and water. You can Google it, y'all, if you don't know how to make simple syrup. And that's kind of to taste. I probably put about 1 ounce of that. I didn't go crazy. And then, of course, like a little bit of cinnamon, and we garnished with the apple slices. So, yeah.
I feel like this would be good cold or hot.
No, cheers. Let's see how this actually
sounds. Yeah, all right.
These bottles. Whoa. Did we just hit plastic cups? What is this?
Well, these are metal.
They're mule cups.
They look like owls. They're so appropriate. Oh, so they don't make a ting, but
sorry.
They look cool. They can't be everything. So we are going to talk about today.
We're
going to
talk about tonight. Halloween.
We actually set the scene. Now we have candles in here.
This is like the fairy lights.
The fairy lights in wine bottles.
Yeah. Like, the ambiance is going, legit, y'all.
We're going all the way here. Can't wait to talk about our Halloween. So let's talk about what we did.
Let's first talk about what we used to do.
Oh, we can do it.
So
let's do the past and the present.
You know what? Yeah. So normally in Las Vegas, there are a ton of Halloween parties out there. The one that I have been to for the past 7 years is called the Fantasy Fetish. Fetish and Fantasy
Ball. Fetish comes first.
I'm sorry, no. Fetish first. Fetish and Fantasy Ball. So that is a huge event that happens annually.
When we say huge, we mean thousands of people.
Yes, and everyone dresses up. It's basically on your ticket. It says it's basically mandatory. And if you don't dress up, guess what? You're going to pay more money. They actually charge you more money.
That's
$20 more. That's how it should. It's freaking Halloween. You're at a Halloween party. Why aren't you dressing up? Because you think it's lame. Guess what? You walk in with no costume. They think you're lame.
I don't understand.
No, but people do it all the time. So anyway, because what they see is us prancing in our cute little sexy costumes in through the casinos, because they're always held in a giant convention hall at a casino. And you are prancing around, all these people are like, what's going on? Oh my gosh. And they will actually sell tickets like half price, like halfway through the night,
mm-hmm.
just to get more bodies in.
Yeah.
And it's always people that were watching you from the outside thinking like, oh my gosh, look at all those sexy girls and guys
right.
wandering into this place. Like, I want to go too. And they're, of course, just in khakis and tank tops or whatever. Like, they're never dressed up. And you just look at them like, you want a picture? Like, no, I'm not going to take a picture with you. Like, you're not dressed up. Like, what?
Can I tell you that I've been here for 14, 13 years mm-hmm. in Las Vegas. I've lived here. And I remember hearing about it at probably 6, 7 years ago. And I was like, no, that looks like super hedonistic swinger. Ah, how did you know I was going to say that?
I knew it.
Super sexual. Like, you had to be super sexual to go. You had to wear pasties. You had to be wild. You had
paint.
To do a crazy drugs and glow sticks. I was just not that I am anywhere near unadventurous or prude. I just didn't think it was my scene. I just didn't want to
be part of that.
Pressured. No, I didn't want to be pressured into being, you know, that kind of
a hedonistic party. With,
I like, guess. Okay. I just didn't want to feel people like, ooh, can I feel your boobs here? Like,
no.
I don't know.
There's none of that.
I don't know, because I've been to so many other things that are way more sexual than fetish and fantasy, but this is more like,
they actually say it in the name.
An explosion of
yes.
creativity. That's yes. what it is.
And they
people
have,
go all out here.
They do have a whole, like a little, they always section off a little area where there's like a little convention space with booths that usually are geared towards fetish, to be honest, like
oh
bondage.
And but it's
the
best part.
Cool.
They the coolest part. They'll tie you up and they will spank you.
Yes.
In front of everyone.
There's a stage where they will just, and you can tell people that are into it and people that aren't. Generally speaking, if you're going to be gently lashed with a whip or something, it's weirdly, I have never done
definitely.
It.
This is actually erotic.
This is one of those things I've actually never done at the Fetish and Fantasy. Maybe next year, let's make that our goal. We'll go up together.
We should both.
Be like, hey, can you do this together? That would be great.
Can we be whipped together?
Yeah, because I don't feel comfortable if she's not with me.
Okay. I want to be able to look over at you with both of our hands strapped above our arms, our heads.
Yes, I bet they would be all about that.
I'm sure they would. So I think we have a picture of Vivian's ass.
True.
The year before last.
I remember that. And we were like, if this is on, it was on the website. We were like,
oh, yeah.
Girl, is that your
right.
butt?
You
that's your butt.
That's your She looks awesome.
And if you guys don't know who Vivian is, she was one of our guests.
Yeah. Yes, so. She was a few episodes ago. So.
You can start looking, scrolling through 2019 photos of Fetish and Fantasy and see if you can find her ass. Good luck.
Yeah, she's in there.
Well, she was a sailor.
Was yeah, like, she was. Yeah. She was a sexy sailor. Mm-hmm. So
anyway, it's not what it sounds like.
What your costume was last year was so prophetic and you didn't even know it.
We were doing apocalyptic, like Mad Max theme.
Yes.
I wasn't any particular character. I never do a character. I just kind of do a theme. And like we had gas masks and the whole shebang. And I've never worn a full like face mask over my face. Like usually it's like, you know, you want to show off your makeup and all that stuff. But I was like, no, I'm going to do a gas mask. Had like a baby doll on it and like looked like a skull. It was pretty like.
Didn't you have one dead eye?
Yeah, I had one dead eye. Like I always do a dead eye or something. Contacts. It's all about the contacts. So, you know, we just went along with that apocalyptic theme. Little did I realize for 2020.
Very thank God it didn't come down a Mad Max era.
I know. It didn't get that bad, y'all.
Remember that meme that was like, so when should we start dressing like Mad Max or Thunderdome?
Little did we realize we'd all be in our pajamas.
Right, like, exactly.
And with a bottle
more
of
like
wine.
Yoga Max.
Yoga Max.
But super fun. Can't wait. It obviously got canceled this year. So 2021 is going to be
off the hook. I'm telling you. And we
can't
always
wait.
Get a hotel and we stay at the place. So
super fun.
That's why. I mean, it's all in what you make it. And that is probably one of my favorite parties to go to in Las Vegas. There's plenty of other little parties, but that one is just
no, it's definitely
amazing.
One of the best.
Yeah.
What else did we do before
normally,
pandemic times?
I mean, there were things that we did do this year, but they were just slightly modified, like the 80s party.
Oh yeah, I've been going to that every year for like 12 years.
Yeah, that's your party. Mine was the Fetish and Fantasy. You introduced me to yours. That's a fun time too. So
you introduced me to yours. So now we've got two we're going to go to every year.
Yeah.
the big ones.
I'm sure there's plenty of others. We don't do the clubs. They're just too much of a pain.
No. And to be honest, they're not worth the money.
No.
They're not that fun.
You can barely walk around. You have to pay a ton of money.
Thousands of dollars.
For a table?
It isn't even just about the money. It's the scene. It's just not a lot of people, younger people, like to dress up and make fools of themselves.
No.
I don't think dressing up is making a fool of yourself if you're in a room with other people who are doing the same. So. But whenever I went to a nightclub, it just wasn't, it didn't feel like Halloween in there.
You dressed up, but it wasn't like everyone else dressed.
Exactly.
If you go to the fetish and fantasy, you go to the 80s party, everyone is dressed up and they're trying to impress you.
Exactly.
So therefore their costumes are like insane. So, and that's the kind of party you want to go to if it's Halloween. Hello.
Hello.
Anyway. Anyway, you lamos.
Well, we started off this year with a really cool brand new idea. The haunted speakeasy, the pop-up.
Yeah.
So a pop-up, I didn't know this event. It's just when something is just around for a limited time and they just make a space for what they need and they host and then it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a haunted speakeasy pop-up and we had no details on it. It just said it was a four cocktail journey experience, which I'm like, journey. I'm
super thinking, vague.
Are we going to walk from room to room? I don't
know. Is it a haunted house?
What do you mean by journey?
Yeah.
So, which is even made it even more cool because it's just like Halloween. It was a mystery.
Very mystery.
So it's a four cocktail journey. All I heard was the word cocktail and I was in. And
speakeasy.
And speakeasy. We love speakeasies. Yeah. Oh, yes. The speakeasy vibe. Yeah. And any excuse to dress up. It was held at the Artisan.
Mm-hmm.
We wore our masks.
It was all socially distanced. You sat in your little section. It was very well done. I didn't think the way that they did it.
The setup was awesome.
It sounds very basic where it's like, okay, you sit down, they bring you cocktails, and someone is standing up on stage just telling you stories. But the way that it just flowed.
Yeah. They had candlelight. Mm-hmm,
the ambiance.
The menus are printed on really cool paper and envelopes. It wasn't just like, it's hard to describe, but there's a mural on the wall. It's dark. They have ambient music in the background. Mm-hmm. All the waiters, waitresses are dressed up in black. So.
We did like a burlesque skeleton theme, which honestly, maybe we should just throw up all our Halloween stuff on our Instagram so people can see what the heck we're talking about.
For sure.
They'll finally see our faces other than our rando.
They had some cool drinks. Really cool, the syringe shooter was what we started with. That was really
like
cool.
A little shot.
It was a mixed berry puree, citrus spritz. Try saying that three times.
Yeah.
And vodka. And it came in like a needle. It looked like
you squirted it into the cup and you shot it.
It was awesome. They also had the Till Death Do Us Part. Vodka, lemonade, bleeding tea ice rocks, and aromatic bitters.
Mm-hmm.
The Smashing Pumpkin, which is really good. Caramel vodka, pumpkin liqueur. Sparkling apple
served
cider.
Served in like a martini glass style.
Yeah, that was cool.
And the end also was like a martini glass. And they put it in a little potion bottle and you dumped it out into your thing. And it had like a swirling glitter in it. So it had
that's
like
right.
Effect.
You have a good memory. And this was literally like 3 weeks ago. And they ended with the Black Magic.
It was great.
Which was a cucumber infused gin, blackberries steeped, simple syrup, lime juice.
Which if you guys have not realized, awesome. We are gin like
fanatics.
We love our gin. So
yeah, it was the guy did jokes. A couple tricks.
Yeah, he was like a magician-ish.
Didn't he drill?
He put a nail in his nose.
Oh,
a 6-inch nail.
He drove a nail into his nose
with a hammer.
Oh my gosh!
And I was like, I'm drinking right now.
That was super fun though. We had a good time, and then after we went for drinks. And if you've never been to the Artisan, if you ever come to Vegas, you need to check this place out. There's nothing like it in Las Vegas.
It's just, it looks the atmosphere of it is very unique.
Oh, yeah.
It's very unique. But it's always a very quiet bar. Every time I've ever been on if there's not an event, if there's ever an event at the Artisan, you got to go. Period.
Yes.
The events are amazing. We went to a vampire ball. Remember like last year in July?
April.
In April. prior to, this was a 2019, not 2020, but it was so cool. And I wish they had brought it back, but they weren't going to. They're doing it in New Orleans or something.
Doing it in other places. Apparently not Las Vegas.
I would think Las Vegas would be a great place for a vampire ball, but apparently wasn't that popular. But it was a really cool experience. I'm just saying, they throw good parties.
I think we should fly out to New Orleans and go to it there. I bet New Orleans would be even cooler.
Girl, I'm going to need some voodoo. I'm going to need some voodoo soap.
Some voodoo soap. Some voodoo.
Oh, you're going to have to tell that voodoo soap story one day.
Oh, yeah.
Girl. Not right now.
It's a, yeah.
We're going to save the voodoo soap.
We'll save the voodoo soap.
For another day.
We went to Fright Ride, a.k.a. Fright Dome. Not Fright Dome. Fright Dome was awesome. I think I've talked about that before in our last episode. So they couldn't do that this year. And they didn't do it last year. But they decided to do like an alternative version where you get into a golf cart and they drive you around through the haunted house, quote unquote.
With just the amount of, I always think about how much effort it takes to put these things together. And I appreciate that. A lot of people, like some people can be really negative and like, oh, they had, you know, they just kind of like go off on this whole tangent about how it wasn't, you know, something where they are tying them up and beating them in the corner and making them truly scared. But at the same time, like, we had plenty of jump scares. The ambiance of the place, like, I love the way that they decorated.
The decorations were awesome.
It was like a, what was the theme? It was basically zombie-ish. First,
they did a little scene of, like, The Purge. Yes. Or where they were like, they actually did a little part where they said, welcome to the annual Purge. They didn't call it The Purge because obviously that's copyrighted, but it was something else. So they showed you a video and they drove you through and people came out like they were going to kill you.
It was essentially like a lab that had gone under or something. I don't remember what the whole thing was, but it was hilarious or very well done. Not so much as hilarious. It's plenty of jump scares, plenty of crazy stuff. And they drove you around in a golf cart. We had our own solo golf cart.
Yeah, just us two.
Everyone wore masks. It was great.
Everybody stayed in character.
And at the end, we got drinks at their little pop-up bar at the end.
In the very beginning, they said they had you go into this office like you're meeting with a doctor. And they're like, welcome. You're, you know, to the experiment.
Yes. This is what you have signed up for.
It was really well done. It was worth the money. And we didn't have to wait that long. They had it all. You had to make a reservation, which was awesome. Which I hope they continue to do.
I like reservations. Yes. I like knowing when I should show up. I think that's great.
Dude, Fright Dome, you never know. You're either going to wait 2 hours,
and then you'd
or
be
you
there
wait 5 minutes.
Like, yeah, there'd be these huge long lines, or there wouldn't be.
It's crazy.
Sometimes it's better just to pick your reservation, stagger the times.
Hey, we did. I'm going to play our little video.
Oh.
It was like 4 seconds.
Fright Ride 2020.
We'll put that on the Instagram. We'll put it on the gram.
I was just so excited to do something like haunted house. Yeah. I thought that wouldn't happen this year.
And we dressed up. We dressed up for all of these things.
All
that's
of them.
What you got to do. And not as many people dress up as you think they do. Like, come on, people.
Well, speaking of dress up, how many times we got comments in Boulder City? We'll have to tell that in another episode. But we went to Boulder City to stay at a quote unquote haunted hotel. Oh, and there's a story with that. Yeah. And we were dressed up kind of witchy, gothic-y, but not hardcore.
No.
We didn't look like devil worshippers.
Well, on the first day it was vintage.
Yes, it was. Well, that's what it was.
Boulder Dark City vintage. Itself was started back when they were actually building the dam. So the 20s and 30s.
Right.
That was its heyday. So we kind of like went off of that whole vibe. And people were like, what are you doing? And we're like, we're just being us.
I don't know. Like, just... it's October and we like to dress up.
Because Halloween.
It wasn't just like one or two like... A dozen people stopped us to comment.
Yeah. And a lot of people were like, oh my gosh, I should have thought of that.
Exactly.
I would love to dress up. I'm like, yeah, right?
It's more of just a confidence thing. Like, people are afraid to, you know, express themselves and dress whatever they want.
Yeah.
But I don't we're not.
Zero shits.
We're not afraid of that.
Zero shits.
We're zero. And then we topped it off by going to Tom Devlin's Monster Museum.
Yes, which is a really interesting and fun experience. I 100% encourage everyone to go to Boulder City at some point if you visit Las Vegas, just as a popover and visit the little town. But Tom Devlin's, they have a cute little haunted museum, and it's really him.
It's monster,
it's
not
a
haunted.
Monster. Oh, sorry, it's monster. But anyway, showcases his work.
He is an actual special effects, practical special effects artist.
Yes.
That's done movies.
Yes, and now he's actually doing, he's training people, which I so want to get into those classes. It's retarded how much I want to get into those classes. Not right now, I don't got the money for that. But anyway, or the time. It's really about time and
money. Someday. You're going to do it.
I will.
And you're going to be amazing.
I will. And they, but right now, they did a haunted house for October, but they're going to utilize that space and it's going to be a continuous, we have to go back down. Like they're going to redo that whole little thing, do like a Christmas
Nightmare
vibe.
Before Christmas.
Nightmare before Christmas. And then they're just going to keep that as an annual thing that they continue to do. And I think that's 100% worth it. So anyway,
Yeah, that was super fun. He had all of the monsters that he recreated that in honor, like an homage.
Yes.
And your favorite word. And then he also had like all the things that he made, like the dolls.
Yes.
And
so, you know, if you don't get anything from our podcast other than just us talking about rando relationships, you can learn some really fun things to do in Las Vegas.
Clearly you can. I feel like we should probably,
yeah, well, we should just add some things to our pod. We'll start a channel eventually too. Okay. You guys can watch us going crazy. But I don't know if you'd be interested. Let us know if you'd be interested. Mm-hmm. We like to dress up and be silly, but I feel like we'll probably maybe start adding, maybe that'll be part of our segment in podcast. We'll just add a little thing that you can do in Las Vegas if you come to visit. Cause we like to do the touristy things, not the crazy expensive.
And the local things. We do, yeah, like we do everything.
A little bit of both. We like to do everything. Yeah. So we can experience it and let you know how it is. We will let you know if it's lame.
Yes, we will.
Anyway.
All right.
Back to our regular podcast.
That was Halloween.
Oh, we're going
to
tell some
ghost stories. We still have some ghost stories, but we're going to get to our question from E.
Oh, okay.
E. She did not give her full name. So,
do you want to be anonymous? This is going to be a weird question, isn't it? I haven't read this question. I don't know what this question is.
I don't know if it's going to be weird, but she's definitely anonymous. Her favorite cocktail she put is a Siamese slammer. Have you ever heard of that?
Slammer.
She wrote, look it up. It's good.
Does it have sweet and sour on it? Slammers.
Oh, I'm
Slammers. Is that a shot?
I'm looking it up and everything is in Espanol. Okay.
Siamese? You put Siamese, right? Like, shouldn't it be in
Siamese? She wrote Siamese. And I'm looking it up, girl, and what are you talking about? I can't find it. Oh. You know what I'm getting for this? Like, what? Cat fights, wrestling kitty cat fights, MMA. So cute.
On YouTube.
I'm getting Alabama slammers, but I'm not getting Siamese.
What's
so
in an Alabama slammer? I bet the Siamese means like.
Someone brought that up on some previous episode.
Oh, yeah.
We've had it before. But, girl, I don't know.
I bet it has sweet and sour in it. Anytime there's a slammer, sweet and sour, whatever.
Some other time.
Sorry, y'all.
She's from Omaha.
Ooh.
Oh, before we get into that, I want to share with you something very interesting.
Okay.
We have gone international.
No, we haven't.
Really, this is why I wanted to be a surprise because we have fans in Ireland.
Oh, Ireland. Oh, God. 2022.
Germany.
Going to Ireland.
Indonesia and Singapore.
Oh, that's so cool.
I'm looking up our stats and I'm like, that is so cool.
Why are we reaching these people? Is it Las Vegas? Is that the
I don't like, know, time? But I love it. Ireland comes out as more than Germany, Indonesia, and Singapore.
Y'all need to write us your Ireland stories because
yes!
Americans are fucked up.
Please.
But
I would love to hear some Ireland romance struggles.
Oh, God.
2022? I thought it was like 2023.
No, I thought we were doing 2022 Ireland.
Oh, so I'm thinking next year, 2022.
Yeah.
I'm like already living in 2021.
Yeah.
Okay, so I just wanted to surprise you with that we have international listeners.
That's cool. I didn't know you could look at that. I didn't know you could look at that.
Oh, you can look at our stats, yeah. It's no joke.
Thanks for listening. Please write us in because we want to hear your life troubles versus our life troubles.
No doubt. Anyway. All right, we'll get to the question. Dear Disturbed, we're just going to call her Omaha, I guess.
Okay,
or we can just call her E, whatever.
Girl.
Love your show. You girls are really funny. I like listening to you while I'm painting my house.
Oh, yeah. That's a task.
Going to keep this quick. I have a huge crush on my boss. Cliche, but whatever. It's true. I think he wants me too, but I don't want to start a relationship with him. I'd rather keep it sexual.
Yourself a lover.
Yeah. Somebody's listening. I told him that much. He doesn't think that'll work and he wants more. Either I bang him and possibly make things weird at work.
She said bang.
Weird. I just bang him. Or I don't bang him and I go crazy. I really, really want to bang my boss. Should I go for it and hope for the best or what? E from Omaha.
Girl, Omaha, listen, honey, if you, I mean, how much can you rely on this job that, do you have a backup plan? Is there a plan B in case shit hits the fan and now you can't work together? That's when it comes down to that working environment, can you leave in a nice, graceful way, like just break things off because clearly you're not on the same page with what you want.
Right. Literally. He's like,
well, he wants more.
Which like, is not bizarre, but it's unusual for a man to be like, oh, I'll just take sex without strings. No. He's like, I think it'll turn into more, which can happen.
Maybe you bang
and,
girl.
And you're like, ooh, really good sexually. You might be really good life partners.
Yeah.
Isn't that usually how it goes? So,
if you're in a relationship,
she just wants sexual.
I know, which is awesome. I love that. It's very hot. But if you are in a relationship with someone that you work with and they happen to be your boss, that number one, I'm sure there's something in your guys' protocol that you're not supposed to do that, but screw that. People do that stuff all the time. Whatever. I'm just saying, can you find another job in case shit hits the fan? Like, because that could happen.
I think that's what she's asking. She's like, should I go for it and hope for the best or what? Well, you have to think of the consequences if you guys hook up and I don't know what kind of job. I don't know if you're a server at a restaurant, which wouldn't be a big deal, no. Or if you're working at a corporation where it is a big deal.
Or if you're constantly face-to-face or if it's one of those things you just see him every now and
then. Yeah, exactly. So there's other circumstances. It just depends. I do think, though, that life is short and death is sure, and you should bang him.
Yep. Live your life to the fullest. I mean, I'm actually going to agree with you with the whole banging thing, but at the same time, have a plan B just in case. What if?
That's why I say you should think of the worst case scenario.
But hey, if you can handle that, then do it. Someone at the workplace. Not that you ever want to bring that card to the table. So, not that you should probably be opening those doors. But people do it all the time. You know how many people have met at work and now they're in love and they're married? Awesome. Or they have three kids.
A lot of people meet their spouses at work.
You meet.
I met my man that way.
You meet the people that you're going to be friends with and all those things when you're at your job. Most of the time.
Yeah. Nowadays, it might not be as a lot of people working from home now. Yeah, but
that whole like online dating shit.
I mean, you spend so much time with these people at work that it's kind of inevitable, but...
Question is, is it going to be awkward? That's that. I mean, honestly, it comes down to like, is it going to be awkward? Is it going to end quickly? Does he have a small penis? It's going to be really fucking awkward. I don't know.
For real.
You got to think about these things. I think of worst case scenario all the time, but at the same time, I'm also living in the 2020 vibe of like, listen, you got to live your best life. You never know when it's going to end.
Correct.
Serious. Like, serious. You know what? I there's a lot of things I would normally say poo-poo to, but at this point, it's 2020, bitches, and we have learned our lesson. You got to live your life to its absolute fullest and screw the consequence.
Well, I know. Well, screw the boss.
Screw the boss.
I obviously, if he's not married and there's no like consequences, and the only consequence is that he's not that good, but has a really small penis, and he wants to continue to see you, and then you got to see him all the time. That's, I guess, that to me isn't a consequence. That is just that's a chance you take.
Yeah.
Also, if he's like, oh, I'm in love with you now that I've been inside you,
that's weird,
and you don't want that. That's also a consequence. So you have to think of all of them and be like, have a reaction and
have a dialogue. And, listen, yeah. I don't want this to affect my work.
People say that stuff though, Heidi, and
I know they don't.
And it doesn't matter. It's
fuck it, just fucking.
Yes, yes, because you should and you want him. And you said you go crazy if you don't. So, and if he wants you, and you set up boundaries, like, hey, I just want to have a good time, and he knows that, then why not?
Is it the exclusive part? Is he like worried you're just gonna like?
No, he said. He wants more.
Oh.
He doesn't think that'll work, and he wants more, is what she wrote.
You know, when I date people...
He doesn't think just being fuck buddies is going
to
work.
Well, my rule of thumb is like, listen, we're gonna consummate this relationship. But at the same time, I'm not going to continue to consummate this relationship with other people, so it's just going to be you and me consummating. And that's going to be it. So, is he worried that you're just going to start banging everyone at work? Like, what's the deal?
I mean, she could.
Yeah, that's where it's going to end up.
I'm just kidding. In conclusion, I think you should just enjoy this attraction with your boss. You're to bang the boss. And then you have a really good story when you're old. Like, I banged my boss once.
Ended well.
I hope it's really good.
We're married now. One of those two things are going to happen.
I think it's only awkward if you make it awkward. And if he becomes obsessed with you, then you quit.
And hopefully he doesn't stalk you. Because he has your social security card.
Okay, now don't get scary. Okay, Heidi. Jeez Louise.
Have we had any stalker stories? I don't think we have.
Only yours.
Oh, yeah, mine. Does anyone have stalker stories? Share those with us. I'm very curious about stalkers. Not that I want one, but I'm just saying.
No. I always
think of those weird.
That's real scary.
I know.
It's actually scary.
I smiled at someone on the bus, and now they haven't left me alone. It's been 4 years. So anyway.
Are you serious?
No. Anyway.
Oh. Anyway.
Those are the stories I've
heard.
Speaking
of stories, I have my story. Ooh.
We're going back to ghost stories in October.
Vibes. My man. He's not my man. He's my ghost man.
Have you watched every single one of his?
No, I haven't. Okay. I savor them.
You get those moments.
After a while, I could do spurts where I watch like 10 episodes in a row and then I don't watch it for like a month and then I play it and hear his voice. It's like, my name is Zach Bagans. And I'm like, turn into a little girl. So Zach Bagans Haunted Museum. We might have mentioned it before because
we could have. We've been to it.
Yes, we have. But who will ever forget our first time at the museum was our most memorable.
Yeah.
And yeah, of course, because it's brand new, don't know what to expect. Did absolutely zero research.
No.
Are you sure I haven't told this story?
No, I don't.
If I repeat myself.
If we have repeated ourselves, I'm sorry, y'all. If you haven't heard this one, or you could fast forward to my story. My story will come at the end.
I apologize if I've told this before.
10 minutes.
We should have known that. I should look back in our notes.
Actually, you know what? Our notes aren't well kept.
I'm pretty sure I haven't. This is a pretty big story.
I think we
saved it for Halloween.
We don't do Halloween stories. We do relationship stories. Even though you have this weird relationship thing in your head with Zach Bagans.
Hey. No, don't make me sound psycho. And then he's like, the next time I try to go, like, you've been banned. We heard your podcast. To be so famous.
Oh.
Anyways, it's a haunted museum and it's not a joke at all. Not everything. The haunted items that are in there are real. And I will just say that I didn't look up anything. I didn't look up what he had for exhibits. I didn't look up anything famous because really I was like...
Even watching any of his ghost adventures by then or no? It wasn't until after you went through the museum. Was it that kind of
It wasn't until after.
That's what I thought. I mean, I knew what his thing was about, but I didn't watch him that much.
No, I was like, a friend of mine brought this up, like, we have to go to this museum, but she never did. And so I never went. I was not going to go by myself. Like,
and then I wanted to go.
And then I was like, oh, I think I found someone who will.
Yeah.
And it was you.
And we have to describe, this haunted museum isn't like fake props where you roam through the halls and someone's jumping scary you. No. This is not a haunted house.
Yeah, this is not a set.
It's an actual museum house.
An 11,000 square foot house. From the outside, very deceiving.
Yeah.
But from the inside, it's huge. And he goes around, collects. If you don't know who Zach Bagans is, please do not pronounce it Baggins, like Frodo Baggins.
The Lord of the Rings.
It's Bagans. If you look him up, he is a collector of paranormal and is also a paranormal investigator. And just goes around to supposedly haunted places and tries to talk to the other side, tries to get proof of the other side.
Yes.
He's still hot. I'm just young and hot and very well spoken, and his voice is so sexy. And
anyways,
and he was buff. He does not look like your average paranormal investigator that they portray in movies. That's true. Anyways, I'm not getting to my story.
I was gonna say, like, where's the story in this?
Let's begin. So his house has a ton of just knickknacks and things he's collected over the years, and also has things that have been proven to be haunted. And when I say proven, I mean like destroy people's lives, has
demonic possession,
like that. And like I said, I didn't watch the show before and I didn't know anything other than the fact that it had haunted items. And I'm like, ooh, haunted items. I have to admit, I was not a believer and I was not a non-believer, because a non-believer means that you're saying that absolutely nothing unexplainable can exist. Like,
yes.
That's ridiculous. There are many, many things I'm sure that everybody's experienced with that you cannot explain. And so I was like I was in between. I'm not a non-believer, but I wasn't a hardcore believer either. So we went in this tour, and they take you on a guided tour with a tour guide, room to room.
They From serial killer items.
Yes, they have like Ted Bundy's glasses. They have
just random and celebrity
pictures of torture,
celebrity stuff. Like dead celebrity,
dead
stuff.
Celebrity pictures, like pictures of them being dead, not just so pictures sad. Of them that are dead. And, you know, items from like a Sharon Tate's wedding dress and girl, what?
Just
all kinds of things.
Little bits of everything. And
shrunken heads.
Yeah. Haunted dolls.
Haunted dolls. So they, okay. So in the beginning, it's like, we're going from room to room and I'm getting like, you know, creeps, but I'm not feeling anything like, whoa, what was that? Like, you know, you get, because once you're like, oh, a spirit ran through me. I really didn't get any of that. I just got like eerie, creepy.
And I'm with her, by the way. I was on this tour with her.
Yes.
And sometimes
you, me, and a bunch of strangers.
Yeah. And I sometimes I would walk in a room and I'd be like, I feel really nauseated. Like something about that room. And as soon as I would step out, I'd feel fine.
Peggy the demon.
Yeah. There was a couple of those rooms, mostly the demonic rooms, that I was just like, I don't feel good. Like, we gotta get out of this room. Like, I don't feel good. So I'm getting like weird vibes. And you're the entire time you're like, I don't feel nothing. Like, what?
Well, like I said, I got the creeps and I felt like, you know, like, whoa, but I did not feel anything.
No.
Until we even went to the one where like, you're not supposed to look this
mirror
in the eye. Well, there was a mirror.
There was a couple of things.
There was Peggy the doll.
Oh, the doll.
There was the shrunken head.
Yeah, the shrunken head.
The guy.
The Egyptian head
look,
or something.
You're not, yeah, something like that. You're not supposed to look him in the eyes or something.
You go in alone.
Which my man did, by the way. And
the
then,
Dybbuk box.
The Dybbuk box. That's the most haunted. And you would think that is the most haunted item. And they say this, quote, unquote, in the world, in this house. And they even show a video of Zach acting very strange around the box with this other celebrity. And it was crazy. But I have felt nothing in the three times I've been in this museum in the Dybbuk
box. Super migraine headache. Like, get me the hell out of this room. Like, that's how I felt in that room. That's how I felt. I did not like that room.
I don't know.
It was always like this buildup of like pressure in my head. And as soon as I was like, okay, I can't take this anymore, the door would open. And I'd be like, we can leave now. And I'm like, okay. And by the way, you have options to be in or out of these.
Yes, these are optional. You do not have to go to the
actually haunted. Every room is optional.
You can go into the regular collectors and serial killer rooms. Yeah. What about the one with the cauldron? Ed Gein, yeah. Right?
That one. I felt nothing in that room.
Nothing
that was just
in that,
a really creepy room.
That's the one where six people helped carry that thing, and they all died within 2 years.
Yeah.
All of them. All six. Something. Oh, my God. The cool stories like that. You guys have to go.
That's some King Tut shit.
I don't want to spoil this shit. You got to go. Totally worth your time.
It is.
Your money. And now they do reservations, whereas it used to be
so much easier.
Standing outside for three hours in heat.
You know.
And now instead of 12, they allow only 6. So
it
could just be you and your closest friends. Anyway, end of the tour. And I'm like a little disappointed only in the fact that I was hoping to feel
something where I'm like, I'm like, feeling all sorts of shit.
Because I think I'm sensitive to people's energies. You know, I think we all are to a degree. And you're like, oh, I'm good. And we go in and they don't even tell you, and they still don't.
No, they don't. They just tell you, like, oh,
they
go in this room.
Go in this room.
Yeah.
Because
you don't know what's in that room.
I don't know if they want to make you do it, but some of the tour guides will not even go in there.
No.
They just open the door for you. So I just went in there like an ignorant little tourist. I had no idea. There's no big sign that says Demon House. Even if there had been, I'd have gone in because I didn't know.
Yeah, you don't know.
I didn't know
about
anything
this.
About it.
You're on the cusp.
We go in. And it's a little, tiny little anteroom where you could fit maybe 10 people side by side.
And we were pretty close together. This is pre-COVID.
We were very close.
Tight-knit.
It was very close. Just us two and like 9 strangers.
Yeah.
And they close the door. It's completely black in there. And then Zach comes on a video. This is my most haunted item. And after that, you guys, I have like a mental blackout. I don't remember after that. I didn't. Actually, back on, I'm just saying that I just only remember that part. And then I remember I'm standing, you're on my left, and I'm standing there watching the video. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm getting goosebumps. And I'm like, no, but the goosebumps are on my feet. How weird. And so obviously this is going to happen a lot faster than I explain it. But I just feel like, oh, this is so strange. And I'm like, I'm looking down at my feet. And I feel something crawling up my legs. And it's kind of like, imagine yourself inside of a plastic cylinder. And if someone had poured in water and the water was just eating you.
Slowly
and I was like,
rising.
And then I just like a fucking movie. I'm standing there. Oh,
frozen.
And I feel something eating me. And that's all how to describe it. Just a energy crawling up my body until it was like on my chest. And I remember lifting my chin, being like, oh my God, oh my God. And then it went above my head and then my whole body just starts vibrating. Like, I don't know how else to describe it, but I started hyperventilating just thinking
about it. Well, she started screaming and everyone in the
everybody
room,
looks at me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm hyperventilating. My heart goes from what it is right now, like a nice little soft resting heartbeat, not nervous whatsoever, to I just ran a marathon or I just
scary adrenaline
pounding. And it's really hard when you think about it to make your heart do that.
No.
Even if you like, you scared me in the hallway right now, I don't think you would come close to the heartbeat that I was experiencing. Anyways, it felt like I was being swallowed. And then I hyperventilated and I grabbed your hand. And then it felt like someone pulled the plug and it just drifted down and just drained out of my body little by little. I felt like I had been spiritually assaulted.
And what I can say about, from my perspective, we're sitting there watching this video. It's almost done, this video.
Fuck the video. All I saw was this.
And it was talking about the demon house, what was in the demon house, what happened in the demon house. She doesn't recall any of this. She thought it happened within I remember you saying afterwards, like, didn't that happen like 30 seconds in? I was like, no, we almost sat there for like three and a half minutes before you started freaking out.
No, it felt like 3 seconds.
Yeah, no, it took you a while. You were possessed. So anyway, and all these people in the room are just looking at you like,
yeah, no one's
crazy.
Like concerned.
I was like, are you okay? It's okay.
She was.
I'm grabbing onto you. I'm holding you.
The second time you had to do that.
Freaking out. I've never seen her like this before. And then there's that cute little girl that's like, here. And she pulls out a pill bottle.
Like,
explain this.
Out of nowhere, she goes, I have holy water. I said,
I
knew. She goes, I knew I would have to bring it. And I, what? And I said, no. First I said, no, like, it's probably some poison.
She brought some random pill. It's a pill, random pill bottle with some other prescription. Like, it's clearly filled with water, but it's not like it was like a beautiful water bottle.
Holy. Okay.
I believe. Again,
maybe that's right, not okay.
She went to the holy place.
She said, I had a feeling I would have to bring it.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
And she's like, drink it.
And I said, no, at first I'm like, it's probably poison and I'm going to die in this haunted museum. My soul is going to haunt it.
She was like an 18-year-old.
She insisted. And I was like, fuck it. Because what if I don't? And then I'm haunted for the rest of my days.
Yeah.
So I drank it, y'all. I drank it. It was just a little bit of water. It wasn't like a cup or anything.
No, it's like a shot of water.
And then they hadn't even opened the fucking exhibit yet. It's just the video.
So then when the video ends, they open the door and they say, do you want to stay?
And
we both left. I was like, I'm not staying in the room that she just got sexually raped. Like, I mean,
spiritually,
that.
Not sexually.
Sexually. Did I say sexually?
You did say sexually.
I meant spiritually.
I didn't get sexually raped. I got spiritually assaulted.
Spiritually.
I felt like something had like was checking me out and was like, should I take this one? Or
this is the good one, right?
And then he's like, no, she's not that good. So anyway, we went, that's the last exhibit. And I was.
You have yet to ever step a foot back in. And we've been a couple back. I don't go in that room.
I will never go back in there because I feel like you push your luck. Like, what if the second time I go in there, you know, I faint or I really get something attached to me. So fuck that. But afterward. Believer, 1,000%. And I told this story to non-believers and they still kind of like, yeah, okay. And I wish, I'm like, okay, I used to kind of be like you, but I know it's real. And I will never forget it if I live to be 99. I went into the gift shop. I bought beads. Maybe that was.
I gave you a crystal.
You
we
a
like
crystal.
Saged your ass.
But remember, we went to PTs afterwards.
Oh, yeah. You're so
and I couldn't
up.
Even, I couldn't even like
focus.
Keep a conversation with you. No. You were like, you were definitely like just like a wah 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 wah.
Yeah.
And I was like,
I remember looking at
you and being like, I can't hear anything she's saying right now. I'm so
traumatized.
And then I drove home, and of course it's nighttime. And I just remember looking in my rearview mirror, like every like 5 seconds,
so
I felt like something was in the back seat. I was freaking myself out. I went home. I asked my man to hold me. Didn't help. I had visions of a demon with horns. I didn't sleep at
that's
all.
Just, that's just that your night. Night terrors getting to you.
I didn't sleep at all that night. I know. But I was shaken, and I did not even tell the story on Yelp until like weeks later, because I thought if I told it, that like, you know, demons that erupt, I don't know. But remember, Zach messaged Shane to me personally.
It's probably his.
Shut up, Zach.
Okay, fine.
It was Zach.
It was him.
It was Zach. And
it's not the people he pays to do that shit.
But it was him. Stop it. It was his personal Instagram. Okay. Thanks, Zach. It made my year. But anyway, I'm a believer. Yeah. I believe there's a lot of hoaxes out there, a lot of bullshit. But the Haunted Museum from Zach Bagans is not one of them. And can I just tell you one more thing? Do you know the picture of the guy on there?
Which guy?
Do you know the picture that they have that represents the museum? It's this guy holding a thing, and he's got a serious face and a top hat.
Oh, my God.
Do you know it?
Yeah. Now
that's,
I know.
That's Zach. Really? Did you know that?
I'm used to him seeing with glasses. It's like big old glasses.
It's an old-time picture. It's like he took an old... it's him. Or it's somebody that looks like him. But I think it's him. I think they did that for marketing. Really?
I know what picture you're talking about. But to me, I just imagine him with those big old giant bottle glass... glasses.
So anyway. Hey, they're special because
he was possessed by a
because
demon
of what happened at the fucking demon house. Yeah. So anyways.
Don't go to the demon house. Don't go in the demon room.
No, go in.
Enjoy the haunted museum.
Go in. Go in.
See if you get spiritually raped. Yeah.
because no one else has experienced what I did.
No,
so
true. Not everyone gets spiritually
exactly.
raped.
Yeah. Stop saying rape.
Because that's what it sounded like. Slowly creeping up your body, uninvited.
No, it was
spiritually raped. It's rape.
Anyway, do you have your own little story?
So my story is not as intense as yours.
Well, thank God.
But it is on the lines of this is when I first believed in ghosts.
That's him.
It is him. So I started working at the coroner's office. Very long time ago.
Ooh.
I am not going to tell you how old I am, but I was very young when I started working there. And I was a forensic technician. And, you know, we assisted the medical examiners with the evisceration and all that fun stuff and the fingerprinting and the photos in the lab, all that. So I got to see a lot of really heinous and horrible things. I still, to this day, do not know how. I still don't have nightmares about that stuff. I still kind of do. Sometimes I still see faces every now and again. And it's,
really?
Yeah. It's haunting. But anyway, my story is that I actually worked during the day normally, and it was a quick, like 5 to 6 hour shift. I was a part-timer. I barely made any money, which is why I'm still not doing that job to this day. I honestly, if they paid me full-time wages, I would still be there to this day. I would not be doing what I am now. So
really?
Yeah, it was such a cool job, but it's definitely a unique job, and you have to be a very unique
to
person
least.
To handle it. I will say that much. If y'all want to hear some stories about that stuff, y'all just message us and
I like
I'll think about
a little
it.
Southern drawl. Like, y'all want to mention y'all tales.
I gotta go a little Southern, just saying, because it sounds a little sweeter. So I was tasked to work the night shift one time because the two people that worked night shift, for whatever reason, had basically gone on holiday at the same time. And it was just like, hey, could you do this for us? Okay, fine.
Okay.
So the night shift is like 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. And literally after 7 p.m., no one is there. No one until 7 a.m. shows back up in the office. And there's the forensic side. And then there's the investigative side. So, and they're separated by this one main office. But really, the forensic side where I'm hanging out, there's the bathrooms, there's a hallway, there's the two autopsy suites, and then there's my little office. There's a garage in front of that little office, and that's where everyone drives in the bodies, and you intake them. Like, all you do at night is you intake. You tag them, bag them. X-ray them.
You bag them?
You bag them.
Wow.
You put them in the x-ray. You put them in the fridge. The only thing you need to know about this section is that it's basically, there's only one way to get to it, which is through that little joined conference area down a hallway to my office. So if anyone came that way, I would see them. There's like a clear glass door. You can see down that hall. Like anyone that you see, there's a hall. Plus there's a ton of security cameras, and there's a little security camera screen, and it will blip between the rooms and down the hallways and on the outside. So you can always see like who's there, if anyone's there. No one's there. It's 7 p.m., 8 p.m., whatever. As your night goes on, you're alone and you're only there with the dead bodies in the fridge. And the other thing you need to know about this layout is that the autopsy suite and the office that are right next to each other are conjoined by this giant fridge, which is where the bodies go. So there's sliding doors that go from the office, so you can go into the fridge area and you can walk through that fridge, get on the other side and open that sliding door, and there is the other autopsy suite. So they're conjoined with the fridge.
Gotcha.
If you can imagine that in your head, awesome. If you can't, sorry. This actually won't make any sense to you as I tell you this story. So
okay.
I'm sitting there, and this is probably what I call the bewitching hour. It was anywhere between 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. Maybe it was 3 or 4. I don't remember the time anymore. I've told this story many times, but I just know it was really late.
Yeah, middle of the night.
No one's there. There's no reason for them to be there. There are the investigators that are supposed to be working, but they don't hang out at the office. They hang out at home and wait to be called to the scene. So what happens in Vegas is that essentially, if a body comes up where it's like, hey, we need a pickup, it can be coming from any type of, like, the mortuaries will actually send out their vehicle to go pick up the body. And whoever's on call for that time gets to go pick up, they have priority to pick up that body.
Okay.
And generally, they end up, eventually that mortuary, like, passes on their information to the family. So therefore, they might actually get that person, blah, 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 blah. So there's this whole weird system. There's a lot more to it than that, but let's just say that's basically what it is.
Okay.
So all you do at night is you wait for someone to show up, ring the doorbell, and you open the garage door, and they drive in, and you basically take care of the body. I'm alone. I'm in college at the time, so I was doing some of my college classes on the computer, and there's two computer screens. One's blipping through the security camera. One of them is my, like, project I was working on. I haven't had any bodies. I haven't had any intake. Just sitting there waiting. And there are a few bodies in the fridge. They've already been dropped off earlier in the day. They're just waiting for their autopsies to happen the next day. So I remember.
Sorry.
What?
Just because you're like, they're waiting.
They're waiting.
They're waiting for their autopsies.
They are waiting. They're very impatient. So anyways, I'm sitting there doing my homework. And I hear footsteps, and I hear very distinct footsteps because I'm alone. It's been silent for how long? And I can hear it coming down that hallway that's going to go towards the autopsy suite and the office. And I'm thinking, how the heck did someone get back there without me knowing?
Right.
Number one, because there is no entry unless they came through some back door that they had to unlock and all this craziness. Like, there's ways in, but like, why would they come that way? There's no reason for them to come that way. They would have come this other way.
Okay.
And so I'm looking at the security cameras now because I'm like, okay, I need to see who's walking down the hallway, but it's kind of blipping between the rooms right now. It's not down the hallway. And then I hear the door open to the autopsy suite that's adjoining my office, like on the other side of this wall. And again, I'm like, okay, any second now, I'm going to see the camera blip to this screen where I'm going to see like who's there. And it blips and it's the hallway finally. But by then, this person has already walked into the autopsy suite and it's already blipped out of that, you know? So I'm just like intently looking at this, and I can distinctly hear there's only a wall and silence between me and whatever's on the other side. And I'm hearing distinct footprints of someone walking across the autopsy suite. And I'm just glued to this screen because I'm terrified at this point. Because I'm like, okay, they haven't announced themselves. Whoever's here, like, this is a really weird approach. I didn't hear a light go on in the autopsy. Like, nothing. Like, who walks in the dark, by the way? It's dark. And you hear the fridge door in the autopsy suite sliding open. And then it's closing. Big old bang. Because that's how, this is a heavy freaking fridge. It is not something that can blow open in with the wind,
right?
By the way. Someone has to physically move.
And there'd be no fucking wind because it's indoors.
It's indoors. So, and then blip into the autopsy suite. lights are still out. I can see the night vision is on the camera. So lights were still out. No one turned on the lights to walk through the autopsy suite to get into the fridge for some fucking reason. And now I'm waiting, and there is no security camera in the fridge area. That'd be pointless. There's just dead bodies in there. So anyway, but now I'm hearing footprints coming to the other side of my office, where this fridge door that adjoins both these rooms, like where the dead bodies are, there's someone on the other side of this door. Like I heard them walk down the hallway, through the autopsy suite, open the door, come through the fridge.
They're in some fancy shoes.
And they are, yeah. Well, I'm telling you, it's quiet. You hear everything. And I swear to God, there's the latch to the door kind of will like lift up a little. And yeah. I swear I saw it just a little bit, just a little jiggle. And the doorbell rings. And immediately, because my heart's like racing this entire time. I slam my hand to the garage door. And like someone comes in because I'm going to have to intake a body, and like everything kind of just pauses because like, okay. And there's basically me panicking. I feel really bad for the guy that I don't even remember his name, but I just ran out of that office into the garage and was like, oh my gosh, you have to check this out with me. Someone's here. Someone's here. And I dragged this guy. He didn't know what the fuck's going on. All he knows is he's dropping off a dead body and this girl's freaking out in the garage. And I dragged him to the thing. I'm explaining to him that someone's here. We're checking the cameras. No one's there. I make him open the fridge door because I'm like, something's on the other side of that thing, you know, and he's kind of freaked out. Like,
yeah, yeah.
But he's trying to act like a macho man.
Yeah, exactly. He doesn't have any weapons.
By the way, I was in my 20s. I was a hot little shit in my 20s.
Okay. You right? Still are.
Whatever. So I was like, you open the door. Oh my God. And so he opens the door and nothing's there but the three bodies. And no lights are on, by the way. No lights are on in the autopsy suite. There's like that weird ambient like light that stays on in the hallway, but there's nothing. There's no one that is there.
There's nothing and there's no one.
And maybe 5 seconds has passed because I literally dragged that man out of his car, like without words, just like, you have to help me. Oh my gosh. You know? So anyway, I felt really bad for him because I made him stay with me until like 5 a.m. He's like, if I don't get called out, I can stay here and stay with you. You know?
Yeah, he could.
But I can't think of anything other than that it had been a ghost. The most haunted place is of course going to be the freaking coroner's office where people, dead bodies are being like dropped off and they're confused and like, what's happening? Did I die? You know?
Wait, they're confused? Why do you keep talking about them? Like they're confused.
People that died, you think some people know that they're dead? No. Some people were murdered or whatever. And then they're like, what happened to
no,
me?
No, girl. I don't know if your spirits are still with it. I think your spirit like leaves already, but if I touched my dead body, I'd be mad. I'd be like, God, I don't want to be around this thing.
I know. Well, if you realize you're dead. I'm just saying something happened.
Oh my
to
God,
me.
Though.
And to me, that was very real. And I know it's just like, oh, I heard footprints, but there's no reason.
Different when you tell the story than what the person who experienced it, because obviously that stuck with you and something happened.
Still very vivid to this day.
Before Zach Bagans, I would have been like, but now I'd be like, fuckers. That was some.
There's ghosts.
That was some. Yeah. That was a ghost.
But I mean, if y'all want to send in a scary story, feel free. We'll read it too. We'll
read
those
that
too. With our relationships.
I think everyone has one. Everyone has a time where they're like, I don't know what
Maybe
happened.
There's something here.
But this happened.
Yeah.
Something you cannot explain.
Mm-hmm. It's just an unexplained. It could be a UFO, whatever. I don't know. Bigfoot.
I had a story like that too.
I do too.
See,
we could just keep going. But this is a relationship podcast,
and we won't keep going. It's not a paranormal.
No.
Zach Bagans worship podcast.
Well, we could just throw it in every now and again if you guys like.
For sure. Stories.
We just thought it'd be fun for some October vibes, even though it's no longer October.
It's still
we know.
Fall. It's not Christmas.
It's still our season.
Whatever. It's always our season.
I know.
Here at Love Shaken and Disturbed. That's why it's called. So it actually goes with our theme.
That's true.
You can be disturbed here. You don't have to be in love and disturbed.
So anyway.
Thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed our little Halloween edition of Love Shaken and Disturbed. As we like to say, keep your loved ones close.
Is that what we say?
Yeah.
I think we forgot what
it's
we
our loved ones close. And our martini glasses closer. Oh my
right.
gosh, how can we forget our
it's
fucking slogan?
Too long.
Stop it.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.
Was it good for you? If so, then tune in for another round, because we drop these sparkling gems every Thursday. Follow us on social or stop by our website at shakedis.com for episodes, drink recipes, and more. Two women, one podcast. Zero shame. Cheers.